in the twinkling of an eye, I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. Yes, I'm going home with Jesus. Sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. We're going home with Jesus, the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, when he calls his bride away. Amen. Amen. I'm going home with Jesus. How about you? You going too? How many of you you're determined? By the grace of God, you're going to be in that number. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you, soldier. Praise the Lord. Play some more of it, brethren. For the trumpet to sound most any time, the crown of life that's waiting, thank God, will soon be mine. I got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, this trip's been paid for me. I'm a going home with Jesus.
He's calling, get on board. The destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore.
Amen.
We'll meet again, Savior.
Oh,
and our loved ones are gone on. And live for all eternity. Oh yes, we're going home.
I'm going home with Jesus. In the twinkling of an eye, I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, I may not know the day. I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. The captain of this vessel, he's calling, get on board.
The destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore.
Savior, our loved ones who have gone
and live for all eternity. Oh, yes,
we're going home. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, I may not know the day. Aren't you glad to be part of that number?
We may be the last ones in line. We may be the last two or three in that great line. As long as we're there, who cares where we're at? As long as we're there, you know what? He painted a picture. You might be, Brother Rob, you might be a little blade of grass in that picture. You might be a little tree that's just sprouting up in that picture. But as long as you're in the picture, that says it all. Somebody say, I'm glad I'm in the picture. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him with all your heart. Oh, the captain of this vessel, He's calling, get on board. The destination's heaven, safe on that crystal shore.
We'll meet again our Savior and our loved ones who've gone on.
Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request.
Am I too loud? Am I too loud?
Okay. All right. Let's look at these requests tonight. Brother Wes, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer. I want to pray for Victoria Thomas, who has severe problems in both of her feet, and there is a danger that she could lose both of them. She is from Lexington, Georgia, and streams our services, so we certainly want to commit that need unto the Lord tonight, that God would just be mindful of her. I want to pray for Brother Howard, Sister Yvetta Collins. Both have colds and coughs, unable to be in the service tonight. So let's remember those requests. I want to remember Brother Jeff Nunley, very sick, unable to be in the service. We remember him tonight as we pray. Sister Linda Jablonski says, we want to thank the Lord for answering the prayer request that we turned in for my sister in Florida. God is good. I love and appreciate all my brothers and sisters. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I want to pray for Jack Kirkpatrick from Missouri. He was involved in a gas explosion, has severe burns on his face and chest. Sister Peggy Kirkpatrick sends that in, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Sean and Landon Seabach, who are in a very, very stressful situation. The Lord knows all about that need. We're just committed unto the Lord. I want to pray for Selena Mahara, who is having open heart surgery on Friday. Brother Chuck Samisky sends that in, so let's remember those needs tonight. I want to pray for Sister Libby Wiggins in Texas, who had a total knee replacement a month ago. She's not doing well, no appetite, very weak. So let's pray for that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Angel Smith. She's having a relapse of the virus she had before with fever and coughing. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. This testimony, we want to thank the Lord for bringing Brother Lee Walmsley through back surgery last Wednesday. He's doing great. He can even stand up straight at this time. So they're praising the Lord for that. So somebody say praise the Lord. Ben Lawson sends this in to pray for his mother. The devil has just really been attacking her real bad lately. That's a real good sign that he ain't got her. If he's after her, he ain't got her. Is that right? But let's pray that the Lord would just give her peace in her heart tonight. As we pray, Rebecca Horniak sends this in to please pray for Lincoln Horniak, not feeling well. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. I want to thank you for praying for Glenda, my wife, feeling a lot better. She's able to be in service tonight. I praise the Lord for that. Thank you for praying. God is good all the time and all the time. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Somebody say, yes, He is. Praise the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus as we stand tonight, Brother Wes, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight. God is good all the time. Amen. I believe that, don't you? Amen. Brother Terry, why don't you just come up here real quickly and lead us in your little version of God is good. I like that. I want to learn it, but I don't know it good enough to lead it, but I know you do. Let's help Brother Terry sing that little chorus just before the Brother Wes comes tonight. Sing it, buddy.
He wants me to sing. God is. We get it started. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. Thank you. All the time. Heart of mine. God is good. God is good. All the time. One more time. God is good. All the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. Just all the
couldn't read it.
Let's bow our heads. Father, there's one thing about it. When we know who we are, when you've revealed to us who we are, where we stand, even in the darkest valley, Lord, that atmosphere, your presence is with us, it's in us, it's around us. And even in the darkest valley we go through, we can look to you and we can say, God is good, no matter what. No matter what's happening, no matter what we're experiencing in this world, Lord, we can trust in that. Lord, as sons and daughters of God, knowing our position and our place, Lord, is so wonderful. Because we know that we can come to you, Lord, with these prayer requests. These things that are so serious to each person, Lord. And we can put our faith together and ask, and we know. Because your word has said, we know that you are working among these prayer requests, Lord. There is no shadow of doubt. Even in the deepest valley, there's no shadow of doubt. There is not even the slightest shadow of doubt, Lord, when we know who we are in you. And Lord, we can gather together now. We agree right now. Everyone here has been touched by one of these prayer requests, Lord, has touched somebody here tonight. And we put these before you, Father, trusting you and knowing you because you have promised in your word that if we agree and pray that you will do it. Lord, we can rest in that. We can have total confidence in that. We can have all faith in that because you are the truth. You really are. You are the truth. You are everything to us, Lord. We praise your holy name. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you. Lord, it's just so precious to draw close to you, to sing to you, to pray to you, to lift up prayer requests. To thank you for all the praises, Lord, that have come forth in these requests, Lord. There were praises as well. And Lord, we just thank you. And we know some of our brothers and sisters who are sick and who aren't feeling well, who are facing dark, discouraging times, Lord. We know that sometimes the body has to come together and focus on these things. We have to lend strength to those that are weak, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to do that tonight. Help them, Lord. Reveal yourself as a healer to those who do not know you that way. Reveal yourself, Lord, so that they can know who they are, Lord. We thank you for everything you're going to do tonight, Lord. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Amen. Ushers, if you want to come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make this announcement. The banquet has been put on hold until further notice. The youth banquet, the Happy Valley Youth Banquet, has been put on hold until further notice. So remember that. We'll let you know as we find out, and you can plan accordingly, but it's been put on hold for the time being. Let's sing a little song tonight. Brother Terry, thank you for doing that for me. It was good. It was wonderful. Let's just do it again, matter of fact. God is good all the time. He placed a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. If you believe that tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. As the song said, and Brother West said, even in his prayer tonight, remember this, whatever you're going through, and only you and God maybe know what it is, you remember this, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. You remember that. If you're going through the worst time of your life, victory is just ahead. Overcoming power is just ahead. Don't you give up. Don't you never give up. Somebody say, I'm in it for life. I'm in it for death. Whatever it takes, I'm in it all the way. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Amen. Let's just sing that little old song tonight. Feel like running my last mile home. How about you? Amen. Let's sing it with all of our heart tonight.
When I come to the end of my journey, live a lifetime for this day, Lord. I just saw the light, I'm getting a little bit anxious. Started out walking, but I'm running the last mile home. I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile home. Ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angels, take me to the throne.
David, play the prettiest music.
Well, I'm a weary pilgrim. I'm a weary pilgrim, I'm running my last mile home.
Many crossroads on my journey.
Hallelujah.
Never once has my God led me wrong. The deserts and the valleys lie behind me. The road heads straight, I'm running my last mile home. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile.
running my last mile.
Heaven's flames in many smiling faces. Till I don't feel at home here anymore.
Hallelujah, thank you, Lord.
But I just heard the sound of four new voices. They're singing a new song I never heard before.
Hallelujah, sing it, church.
Yes, they're singing a new song I never heard before.
The Lord. Let's just sing this little chorus as Brother Donnie gets ready to come to the platform tonight. We've sung everything fast and I feel like worshiping the Lord, but I know this. When we get there, we're going to thank Him for His amazing grace. His amazing grace is what got us through this mess. We're in a mess right now. In this old world, we're in a mess, but we're not part of the mess. We're rising above the mess that we're in. Aren't you glad for the grace of Almighty God? Somebody say, thank God for amazing grace. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Amen. Let's just sing this amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind.
Jesus, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for your grace to save us, your grace to keep us, your grace, Lord, to fulfill your precious, wonderful word in our lives. Tonight, once again, we're asking for another outpouring of that grace. We know grace comes in many means. Tonight, Father, we pray that you would enlighten us to your word. We know that enlightenment and illumination comes in so many, many ways. It reveals itself in simplicity. It reveals itself in depth. It reveals itself in parabolic form, in stories. It reveals itself in so many, many ways. It reveals itself in goodness, in types, and shadows. then at times it reveals itself and how others have done wrong and how they've been treated. So, Father, we pray that you would help us through the many avenues of grace, that we would be helped and benefited by our gathering together tonight. We count it an honor. We don't want just to assemble ourselves tonight, Lord, in your presence and take it for granted. I want you to know I count it an honor to be once again in your house. I've been in church most of my life, and I love it now more than ever before. I love being able to go to church and hear your word and worship and fellowship. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Speak to us tonight, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You love him with all your heart. Are you glad you can come to church? Isn't it a privilege and an honor and to be able to come to the house of God? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. We're getting really, really close to the end of this prophet Moses' life. It's been a very difficult life for this man. A life that had glories, manifestations of the power of God, but a life that had a lot of disappointments as well. He's fixing to be crowned with a great disappointment. For some folks, I'm sure that no doubt if they had lived in the days of Moses, they would have left his message and put some videos on YouTube if they'd had such a thing and justified why they left Moses, since Moses sinned and had to be taken off the earth. Praise the Lord. Moses is leaving in shame and humiliation. So shouldn't we write a book about it? Shouldn't we write a book and tell how awful it was that Moses done all this stuff? Really? How come? Brother Louis, what's your problem, man? I mean, can't you face reality and facts? Oh, you just believe it. So you're one of them crazy people that just believe stuff, whether you understand it or not. No wonder I feel so at home with you all. We'll change the sign out here to the House of Nuts. In all reality, when you look at it, friends, many times it's a greater pulsation and statement of faith when you believe that which you cannot understand than it is when you believe that which you do understand. All of it, oh, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. That's not when you're showing your faith. It's whenever you believe it with all of your heart because it comes from a vindicated source, even when you do not understand it. God honors such faith. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. See, now that I, even I, this is God now, coming down to the last few verses of this song. There is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Anybody here want to raise your hand and say the same? By God's grace we do. If I whet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh. You think God enjoys saying things like this? I can't believe he does either. What makes God have to say things like this? People. People. That the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. May the Lord bless his words. You may be seated. We know enough about God's character to know that God is not mean, he's not hateful, he's not contrary, He's not looking just to take vengeance out on people and display wrath or anger, even on the disobedient. But whenever people's actions will force God's hand, then this is a side of God that has been displayed right along with grace and mercy and forgiveness. As a matter of fact, we see that from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. It was not that God wanted Adam to see this aspect of him coming in the garden, maybe with a different tenor about his voice, a different atmosphere than what Adam had ever seen or felt before. But it was accompanied along with the image that had left Adam. And Adam said, "I was afraid because I heard thy voice in the garden and I hid myself." Now there was something suspecting about that, that Adam knew that because the image of God had left him, there must have been a view about God that he knew that God had the potential of being this way if Adam disobeyed him. So he actually expected God to render this type of atmosphere toward him. Truly, every one of us that are children have seen this side of God in our own lives. Anybody here seen it beside me? Whenever you disobey the Lord, and you know he's going to whip you. I mean, you just know it. He sends his word. He sends his conviction. That heaviness on your heart, that's something when you know you've done something wrong. Many times I'd rather him scream at me than that. I can take the hollering and the preaching and the screaming worse than I can take that silence and that heavy feeling. It about drives me crazy. I just can't hardly take it. So God knows how to render it to each of us in order to bring the most benefit. Now, some people are very stubborn. They're very hard-headed. God has to deal with them in more severe, harsh words. Some people, he can simply penalize them by that feeling, that deepness of the feeling of the broken continuity of fellowship. To them, that does much more than God having the preacher to just really blast them by that word. And God will deal with us according to what was going to bring the most benefit. That's what I love about him as a father, that he doesn't have one particular way. He deals with all of us, you know, in that way, but he knows how to deal with each of us in the way that will bring the most benefit to our lives. It makes me love him so much, don't it you? Even in his disciplinary action. Now here we see that God is rendering, closing out in the latter verses of this song, what is going to be dealt with the Jews and with also the Gentiles. Now notice in verse 41 that God said, "If I whet my glittering sword," and the word glittering is barak, barak, lightning or lightning flashes. So God here again is showing Israel that if you disobey me, you get away from my program, then not only will you know the depths of my love and the depths of my mercy and the depths of my grace, but you will experience by your stubbornness and your rebellion, you will experience the other end or the other spectrum of how that I can render my judgment. Now, because God is wanting to beat people, because God is wanting to bring that out in him, not at all. God would much rather him been able to dealt with me and my walk with God all these years. If it would have been, he would have spoke to me and I'd have obeyed. He would have warned me and I would have listened. He would have much rather dealt with me like that all of my walk with God. But why hasn't he done it? Because I'm stubborn sometimes. And I'm hard-headed, and I'll go ahead and say it for all the rest of you all, you're just like me. But yet God, if we won't deal with it that way, then God will turn and God will bring around and he will bring out his sword because he wants to, because of our stubbornness. You see, when we get so stubborn that God cannot deal with us through deacons, through the ministry, through the word, you realize what you're doing. You're setting yourself up to where God is going to be forced to deal with you as a stubborn
stubborn, hard-headed child. Now, whether you're a deacon or a trustee or a lay member or a preacher or a pastor or whatever, if we are children of God, there's one thing God absolutely despises and God will not allow, God cannot tolerate in any of His family, and that is stubbornness and hard-headedness. Why? It is from the devil. Stubbornness is not from God. You see, when we get to a place that nobody can tell us anything, that is not an attribute of the Holy Ghost. I mentioned it to you a week or so ago, and repeat it to you again tonight. As long as we are teachable every day of our life with God, not only in doctrine, but in holiness and in purity, there is nothing that can ever stand in our way. Nothing will be able to stop us. But if we become to where we know everything about everything, and you don't have to be a know-it-all about everything, you can just be a know-it-all about one subject in your life, and then you will force the hand of God to have to deal with you in what way? Not in gentleness nor in kindness, but in you will exact out of Him His glittering sword. Through what? Through your own stubbornness and hard-headedness. Well, you got quiet on me all of a sudden. Now notice, God says, if I whet my glittering sword. So a glittering sword is a sword drawn. You would never know if the sword was glittering or dull or rusty. You would never know if the sword was shiny or if it was abrasive, if it was sharp, as long as it was in the scabbard. Now if it was in the scabbard, then the sword is totally concealed, everything except for the handle being 6 to 9 inches long, made according to fit your hand. So as long as the sword is in the scabbard in the man's side, there's no way for you to know, is it sharp, is it dull, is it glistening, is it shining? But if it is a glistening, glittering sword, then that means the sword has been drawn. Then if the sword has been drawn, that means the individual or individuals or nations are getting closer to the display of what that sword is going to do. Now, even in that, God is merciful. That God will actually bring forth His judgment and His justice to children, to nations, and to people in stages. Aren't you glad? You imagine if God wasn't merciful, that the first time we'd done anything, I mean, the judgment of God would just get us. But even in the way He displays that, it's in stages. So God, as it were, would put His hand on the sword. That's a stage, and grace would impel upon His heart to give you and I a time of delay, a time to repent. If we don't do it, then what will He do? Then He'll draw the sword out. He doesn't strike immediately. He doesn't go to killing immediately. But what is it? A measure of grace from the time the sword is drawn. Now we can look at the sword. He's hoping by us looking at the sword. It is glistening. It is sharp. He is wielding the sword. It isn't a hand that can handle the sword. What is it then? In the dispensation of grace, in the time the sword is drawn, to where we will look at the sword. What's He going to do? Hopefully it will get our attention and we'll say, do you want that? Do you want that used on you or your children or your wife because of your stubbornness or your hard-headedness? What is it? Grace. Amen. Grace. If I whet my glittering sword. Now you imagine, it's being brandished out of the scabbard. As it comes out of the scabbard and the sunlight begins to hit the polished metal, and the metal is gold glistening, and as it does, we look and see the hand that turns it like this, which magnifies and exemplifies the brilliance of the metal. It also shows to us how, when the sun runs down to it, that the edge breaks the sunlight and the rays can no longer travel around it. What does that speak to us? That the sword is sharp. We see the length of it. We see that the hand fits perfectly around the guard. We see this as an individual that is not clumsy. As he brings it out and falls on the ground and he picks it up and he don't know how to handle it. But we see this is in the hand of one who has done this before. And what's God doing in all of this. He's trying to discourage us away from causing him to go further in giving us this judgment. This is what God is doing to the children of Israel. He said, if I wet my glittering sword in mine hand, take hold on judgment. Now notice what he's telling them. It is a preparation for the execution of the judgment of God, because, not because he's mean, not because he's looking to whip people, but because of their disobedience. Now, God is not only love, but God is just. And when the love of God is overridden time and time and time again, then we not only deal with the love of God, but now the justice of God must kick in with the love of God. Amen? Now, this is the aspect that this age certainly does not want to hear about God. One day they'll see it, but it'll be too late. God's justice must be met. And I'm glad for the person of the Lord Jesus, by which the justice of God was met in the person of the Lord Jesus, and therefore in him, then the atonement and the expiation of our sin has been settled, and we have been set free by the grace of God. In that, then, our soul can no longer be threatened by the sword of death. But it is our flesh, which is still unconverted, that rebels against the word of God, and which causes God to bring forth the preaching of the word. Now, I know sometimes you may sit there and wonder, why is Brother Donnie preaching so hard? Why is Brother so-and-so preaching so hard and saying it this way and that way? I guarantee you, every God-called man would rather get in this pulpit and every other one they preach in, and would rather preach things much easier, much more gentle, and a much more loving type of way. I've never talked to a God-called man yet that ever loved to preach hard, that loved to preach in a stern manner. You know, why? Because they love people. But yet, what is it that does that? It's the Spirit of God crying out and using that gift in a man's life, because you've got either people sitting in the visible audience or those that are hearing it, and they've got needs in their life, and they don't just need to hear about grace and love and mercy, but they need a momentary view of that glistening sword. And maybe you're wondering, my, I don't understand this or that. It might not even be for you altogether. And maybe 5 minutes out of that service, God will have that servant of God, and in the third person there, as he stands, he'll pull it out and he'll wave it before them, and the glistening power of God will shine upon it, and it'll turn that person away from the wrath of God. And you and I just go on. The preacher preaches it and goes on, has absolutely no idea what in the world has even been said for. Just like it happened right here Sunday, as I got an email yesterday from somebody several states away, as the Spirit of God was directing us. I didn't know the way it was going. You didn't know the way it was going. But little did we know, the Holy Ghost had a situation he needed to take care of hundreds and hundreds of miles away from here. So you know what? We as the people of God, as we look at the justice and the wrath of God, it's something we know is there. But it's something I personally don't want to have to deal with. So myself, I want to live right and walk right before the presence of the Lord. First of all, because he wants me to. And secondly of all, so it'd be a whole lot safer for me going through this whole journey. And I'll have less stripe marks on my back. Maybe some of you all want to look like a spiritual zebra. I don't. You want scars all over you? You want to be beat like I don't know what? That's entirely up to you. Myself, I'd rather be able to live a victorious life with less whippings. Amen. Now watch. God is coming so firm. As I said, this is the side that people don't want to hear in this day. But notice in verse 42, I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh. What a horrible thing that God is actually displaying the unending ability that deity has to render such judgment and justice on those who disobey his word. Think of where we would be today if it were not for the grace of God that we just got through singing about. Can you imagine why the Laodiceans will go through the tribulation period? If it was not for the grace of God, you don't understand why God said he would send Elijah the prophet, unless I come and smite the earth with a curse, behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. If it was not for the grace of God calling you under this ministry of Malachi 4, you would be under the curse of Laodicea, heading for the tribulation period. People laugh at us, make fun of us, let them do whatever we want to do. It was Malachi 4, oh praise God, that drove away that curse from the eye on the bride to go through the tribulation period. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice, and he said in verse 42, and that was the blood of the slain and of the captive, signifying, wow, the justice of God, how it must be met, and the penalty of God. God just can't turn a deaf ear. You see, friend, this is what makes us so damnable and devastated by preachers in this day that are just basically telling their people that God turns a, he just turns a blind eye to what they're doing, and he turns a deaf ear. And that's all right. God don't care. God understands you can't live right. God knows that you can't overcome in this day. It's all right. It's acceptable. God just knows it. And he can you imagine how hot hell will burn for them preachers that's kind of preaching this kind of a social gospel and letting people live any way they want to live and do anything they want to do and hiding it under the disguise of grace and thinking that grace lets you do anything you want to do and live any way you want to live. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Well, glory. Now notice how God prophetically brings in the nations of the Gentiles in verse 43. Rejoice, O ye nations, which plural, of course, here is a reference to the Gentiles. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. Now we know, remember, in symbol and in type, God began to send forth the shadows that there would be Gentiles merging in. We know what happened in Ruth and in Rahab and also on down through there. Of the Gentiles, but now God is actually speaking it through the psalm that prophetically the Gentiles will move to a place of rejoicing, that they would not just have the court on the outside of the tabernacle. Notice this in Romans 15:9. Paul says that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he says, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. I'll tell you one thing, you Gentiles that don't want to praise God, you're not obeying Scripture. The Word of God commands us Gentiles to praise him. Why does it mention for us to praise him? Because we got so much to praise him for. Nationally, we did not belong to God. We were out of the commonwealth of Israel. Now remember, the commonwealth of Israel and the predestinate seed is two different things. But nationally, we were not identified in the national covenant. We were identified in the Abrahamic covenant, which was given on the unconditional basis of this predestinated seed, Christ the Word. But in the national covenant, we were not identified with them. And then you notice how that God said to the Gentiles, worship him, Gentiles. Rejoice, Gentiles, laud his name, which is uplift and exalt and praise him. Oh my. In Romans 15:12, again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Praise be to God. Papa, that's me. Papa, that's me. Oh my. Notice, and Moses says, all ye nations, rejoice with these people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Now you imagine the psalm. It's coming to a close. God has given the culmination of thousands of years of prophecy. Much of it has been hid behind prophetic symbol. It's not written so that a person would be able to sit down and read it like the newspaper. Certain man went over to a bakery today and he went over here and he bought a certain bunch of sweet rolls and he come out the door and he fell and stumped his toe and went over and bought a Coke and then he done this and that and the other. The Bible is not written that way. But the Bible is written with many prophetic symbols and it's hid in symbology. It's hid under types. It's hid under all kinds of things. Why? It pleased God to do it that way. Now watch, and Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people. And Hosea, the son of Nun. Well, who's this guy? Joshua. Joshua. Now Moses comes from the tabernacle, from the presence of God, where the inspiration has given him this song. One of the greatest songs that's ever been written. In poetic poetic prose, God will allow His words to so imprint upon these people, it will be a judgment given to them. Now, instruction is actually related in this God's own choice, and God chose to do it this way. Now, look in verse 45. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. Moses made an end. Oh, really? Well, he did, but he didn't. Now, if Moses made an end the way we think in the English language, then Moses shouldn't say nothing else. But Moses made an end, but kept on talking. Now, if you ain't careful, you make God a liar, and you make the Bible a liar. You see, when the Bible says certain things, you have to be careful to make sure you know what it's saying, or it don't make sense. It's the same way with pretty much all prophecy and prophets. You look at it, and to you, it don't make no sense. That's because you're trying to figure it out with your canary brain. Tweet, tweet. But we have to go beyond our canary brain to try to understand prophecy and prophets. Or we make God and His word a lie. Now watch this. Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all of Israel. Verse 46. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words. Now wait a minute, Moses. If you made an end of speaking to them, then you can't say nothing else. Unless you made an end with a new beginning. So it actually wasn't an end, was it? Yeah, it was. But it was only an end, but not the ending. Now you gotta be careful. Remember, you're looking at me funny. Did Moses make an end or not? The Bible said he did. But then the Bible goes on to say he kept on talking. Peter said it almost 2,000 years ago. The end of all things is at hand. So at hand can mean how long? 2,000 years, 2,500 years, 2,300 years. So the end is at hand. Don't actually mean that it's at hand. It's at hand, but not at hand. So the end is not the end. So Moses made an end, but he kept on talking. You're confusing me. Good. That's exactly what I want to do. I want to get you to thinking, because some of y'all think you know so much. Well, glory. Amen. Now watch, he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing. Now Moses, is this sermon too? Is this, are you going to stop preaching? I wonder if this is where preachers get that cliche, like at the end of it, I'm closing. Moses come to an end and had everybody to stand and kept right on going. Now notice, he just keeps right on going. But yet he did come to an end. It was the last verse or the last stanza of the song. Now comes Moses' personal embellishment that God putting on his heart. Now Moses, I want you to emphasize the importance to them. I want you to emphasize the value. I want you to emphasize that teach their children. Sing it to them over and over again, Moses. Amen. It's not a vain thing for you because it is your life. Listen to this, friends. It is not a vain thing for you because it is your life. This word is not a vain thing for you. It is not a vain thing to come to church. It is not a vain thing to read your Bible, to listen to the message. This is your life. And what is the opposite of life? Death. So to obey it, it is your life. To disobey it, is your death. It is your life. And through this thing, You shall prolong your days in the land. You mean by simple obedience. By simple obedience to this song, they would prolong their days. Now, did God predestinate the children of Israel to get in there and do all this heathen worship? Absolutely not. Did God know they would? He did. But there's a difference in God knowing it and God ordaining it to happen. God never ordains you to leave His Word. God never predestinates you and I to leave His Word. He knows if we will, but He does not ordain us to do so. God did not want them to leave. He said, I'll make you an endless generation, a consecutive generation, one after another after another. You'll be a kingdom of priests, man. I want you to live here on and on and on. He told Solomon, I'll leave my name here forever. But forever is anyon, which is the space of time. Did God want to leave there? Did God want to drive them out? No. But it's based upon what? Not Him. Them. Now watch, He's giving them the key to this song. And through this thing, you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Totally and completely left up to them. Oh my. It is not a vain thing. Let me read it to you again. Because it is your life. And through this thing, ye shall prolong your days in the land. I wonder if it could be that way for us Christians tonight. Serving the Lord, going to church. But I wonder if our walk with God can't be prolonged. Our joy, our peace, our experience. Or wonder if it can't be shortened. Because of our disobedience. Now watch in verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day. Get thee up unto this mountain, Abarim. Unto Mount Nebo. Which is in the land of Moab. That is over against Jericho. And behold the land of Canaan. Which I give unto the children of Israel. For a possession. Now, Nebo is the topmost peak, pinnacle, in this mountain range. Now, notice, Moses sings the song. Now, God speaks to him the same day and says, today, you're going to die. Get thee up to this mountain, Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab. That is over against Jericho. And behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. Now God, notice how close they are. They're so close that Moses is right next to Jericho. His very way and time of departure shows such human failure. His ministry is now going to be crowned with the total reminder, you disobeyed me. You failed me. Praise the Lord. Well, shouldn't we leave a prophet that does that? Huh? Shouldn't we get away from a man like that that leaves out of this world in failure? Oh my. Notice what God tells him in verse 50. And die in the mount whither thou goest up. Notice how God says this. It's just like God saying, go to Walmart and get some apples and then get some bananas and then get some cake mix and get some vanilla pudding. And okay, you're going to go up to the mountain, go up and get this song, finish the song. And then I want you to go up and you're going to die today. It's die day. God's speaking to him as if though he has the ability to lay down his life. Notice the way God says this. God don't say, you're going to go up there and I'm okay. He says, you're going to go up there and I want you to die today. I want you to die. Lord have mercy. To me, I see grace ushering in and crowning a man who has failed, a man who has made major mistakes, but grace is still coming in and crowning his life. If this man had been a coward, God could have never spoke to him about death in this way. He does not cry. He does not argue. He does not fuss with God. I mean, what would you do, Brother Jim? If you get up in the morning, you eat your breakfast, and God speaks to you and says, I want you to go to the library and die. Danny, I want you to get up and eat your breakfast, comb your hair, brush your teeth, hug your wife and son, and then I want you to go to work, and I want you to go sit at your desk, and I want you to die at 9 o'clock. And Moses fussed and kicked and screamed and hollered and made such a ruckus that there's absolutely not one word said that the man said back. Die and be gathered unto thy people. What was it? A stroke? A heart attack? Congestive heart failure? What was it? The Bible don't even give us any idea. The prophet apparently was able to catch a little bit of a view of it. He said he was up on the mountain and the devil looked over there and said, where did Moses go? He said, I seen him standing there trembling and shaking a few minutes ago, standing on that rock. And the next thing I looked and he was gone. And die in the mountain whither thou goest up. Now listen what death does to a believer. And be gathered unto thy people. You see, death to a believer is a changing of social status. You're socializing with mortals that morning and socializing with immortals by lunch. Hallelujah. I want you to go up on the mountain and I want you to die. And then I'm going to gather you to your people. Did you see why to a real child of God, death does not scare them? Oh, it's a channel there. We've never been there. We don't know exactly what it is. But we know from the Word of God, it is a gathering of the elect to their people. Glory to God. Die in the mount, whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people. Notice, Moses, just in case you're wondering, I'll remind you. As Aaron, thy brother died in Mount Hor. You remember, don't you? You was with him. You remember you and him went up the mountain. You stripped the garments off of him. Placed him upon his son. And you and him walked up there together. You embraced and shook hands. Shed tears over each other. And Aaron told you, I'll be waiting on you, brother. Cross the river. You remember, don't you, Moses? I do remember. Remember what he done? He just kind of sat down, as it were, and put his arms like this, or maybe just kind of laid over and went to sleep in your arms. You remember that, don't you? I do remember. Well, that's what you've got to fear. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Don't be alarmed today, Moses. You're just going to die. Don't be alarmed. It's nothing out of the ordinary. It's nothing extra special. It's nothing to be afraid of. You're just going to die today. This would be a good funeral subject, wouldn't it? Praise God. Die in the mount, whether thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor. And was gathered unto his people. Look at the last days of this man, Moses. They were marked with sublime self-denial. They were marked with overwhelming, captivating of self-will. He'd have nothing written. Well, God, let me do this, and can I do that? And Lord, what about my wife? And what about my kids and my grandkids? And Lord, would you mind if I went on another fishing trip? Would it be okay with you if I went out hunting a little bit? Lord, you know how I enjoy hunting. The man's last hours are spent for his people. He's coming right up to crossing over. And yet, in one sense of the word, not being crowned in obedience. Not being crowned with, I'm going to let you take him in. You labored, I'm going to let you do it. And God has to bring it up again and remind him. Sublimely, he rises above personal and selfish wants and desires. Not a whimper. Not a complaint. God, you owe me an understanding. I give all these years here and you won't even forgive my sin. Not one word did the man utter. Yet, his last days were shadowed and saddened by sin. Oh my. Die in the mount whither thou goest up and be gathered unto thy people. But what's the kindness of God? But before you go, I want you to go up to the very top. Once you climb up there, I'll enhance your vision. You won't need Zeiss binoculars or Swarovski or Bushnell. If any of them companies can make binoculars the way Moses saw, you're talking about something. You imagine he climbs, his heart beating by the gym for the last few times. How would it feel to know you're going to go up there? You're going to, would you stall? God, let me tie my shoe. Lord, my sock is falling down here. Please, God, I can't stand when my socks do that, Lord. Lord, my robe's a little bit tight on this side. Lord, would you mind if I go down a little bit? I'm a little bit thirsty. You imagine him as he faced it. Gallantly. Amen. Would not he want to live and redeem himself from his disobedience? He had done argue this argument with God, and God told him, don't mention it to me again. Amen. So go to your death in humiliation. But go. Go. With divine dignity. Are you ready? I'm ready. You do know you're going to die. I'm ready. Brother, I'll be with you in a few minutes. Praise God. This is not poetic language that is used to describe death. You'll be gathered with your people. It's divine insight into what death does to a child of God. Amen. To the people of God, his desire has been. To God's commandment. But God is also going to remind him. Notice in verse 51. Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh. In the wilderness of Zin. Because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Now these are some of the last words God is going to speak to you before you go. Let's bring it down to our terms. You're at the med center. You're in the ER. You've had a heart attack. It's so far gone, the doctors say they can't operate. Nothing can happen. There's nothing else they know to do. Your blood pressure's fluctuating up and down. Your heart rate and everything. They know you don't have long. And God reminds you of some of your disobedience. That'd make you feel real happy, wouldn't it? Can you imagine this man? This man having such a walk with God, the reminding of his failures never discouraged him from going right on top of that mountain. Amen. There you go. to me, it is a display of such grace. There's some babies in God. God couldn't remind them of this for nothing. They'd be halfway up to the top and turn around and leave. But this man knew where he stood with God. He knew he made his mistakes and he's paying for his mistakes, but he knew the grace of God was there to carry him through. Do you know the same? Do you know that you've made mistakes and you pay for your mistakes, but do you know the grace of God and the will of God is bigger than your mistakes? Or will you allow the mistakes to talk you off the top of the mountain of death? Oh my. Because of your unbelief, Moses. What a thing to say to a prophet of God. Lord, don't all these 80 years of my service, don't that take care of all of that? Do you have to mention that now? Do you have to bring that up one more time? Let me tell you something, children. This proves to us whether you are a prophet or a king or a preacher or whoever you are, God demands obedience of us all. None of us can get to a place and so important to God that we can do whatever we want. We must obey His word. Oh God. Because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel, yet thou shalt see the land before thee. Notice what God done. God's grace come in and overshadowed the reminder of his failures. God's grace came in. What is it that encourages us over the top of our failures? God's grace. God's grace. What if he constantly reminded you, and never gave you no grace? I'll tell you one thing, we'd be a mighty discouraged people. I don't mind preachers coming here and preaching on us. I don't mind them coming here and telling us that we're wrong, but I do mind them when they tell us how wrong we are and don't give us no grace to follow up. Because I don't see that as God's nature. God reminded Moses of his failure, but God brought in grace and said, don't be all down in the mouth now. I want you to look past the wilderness of Zin. You imagine him as he climbed up. He's coming higher and higher. And here he comes and he begins to look across. Oh God. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at Jericho. Oh, beautiful. The palm trees, the pomegranates, the dates, the figs, the grapes. The vineyards. Look at those rolling hills. And then something began to happen to his vision. He went into the realm where prophets had their visions, the fourth dimension. And he began to look from the south to the north. From where he was standing on this side Jordan, all the way across down from Dan to Beersheba. He saw the rolling hills. He saw all the beautiful trees and the streams. What was it? God's grace over the top of this man's failure. Now, what would you have done if you'd lived in that day? I'll tell you what some of these folks have left the message done. They've done exactly the same thing to Moses they've tried to do to Brother Branham. You know what I'd have done? Same thing I'm doing now. I said, that's God's prophet. Sure, he made a mistake. Sure, he was a human being, but he was still God's prophet. God have any angels to attend your funeral and be your pallbearers? You ever talk to God face to face? God ever come down and deal with you like he did with Moses? Praise the Lord. Well, when you supersede that, then come see me. But until you do, I'm going to stay right where I am. Praise the Lord. Did he have mistakes? Sure he made mistakes. And God knew all of his mistakes. And Joshua knew his mistake. But Joshua didn't come up and try. And I'll tell you one thing now. Moses made a mistake and he ain't no count and he ain't no good. And God sent me to straighten you all out. God sent me to lead you all over. And we don't need Moses no more. That's the sound of a false prophet. Well, praise the Lord. thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. You imagine as a man for the day, his disappointment. It'd be like me pastoring this church for years and years and years and laboring and preaching to bring y'all to a body change. And then 2 days before the rapture, I have to go by the way of the grave. And you think, you gotta be kidding me. You mean some other preacher's gonna get to stand there and preach the last cliche? Oh, that's it. Praise the Lord. But God, remember, God's mercy has been extended to this man. He owed him nothing. But he's letting him climb up and look across. Now, let's change for a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. So Moses stops singing. And then God goes to talking to him and said, now today you're going to die. I'm going to let you go up and see. I'm going to let you look across. But before you go, I want to give you something that's going to kind of take away that bad taste of that song. Amen. It's not going to eradicate it or reverse the prophecy that lays in there. But this is going to be something that's going to kind of encourage them. The elect. Amen. Now notice, so before this ascending up to Nebo. Amen. As the patriarchal fathers would bless their children with divine blessing, God is now going to allow the prophet to start saying things in a great supernatural way that'll be a blessing to the bride right before he goes. Or the elect. So the song of Moses mainly emphasizes the calamities of what's going to happen because of their disobedience. But the blessings is going to emphasize what God's going to do for them in their inheritance. I love the way God balances everything. Notice in verse 2, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. So the blessing opens up with an illusion of the rising of the sun. Now what Moses just described was the natural rising of the sun from where he was at in the land of promise. Now he's fixing to give the blessing of God to these tribes. But before he does, he's going to exalt and magnify the name of Adonai. And he's going to show them how they got this blessing. Wasn't because they were so good. It's because God was so great. Amen. Amen. Now he said the Lord came from Sinai. What happened at Sinai? The giving of the law. And rose. Notice the terms he used. Now rose up from Seir. Now Seir was the land that was given to Edom, Esau. Rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from the Mount Paran. So the idea, what is it? It's the very advent of the presence of God, and the ideal is paralleled or likened unto the rising of the sun. So the illumination of the law, the giving of the law, is likened to God raising the natural sun, giving them law of life. And notice now what Moses says here that he did not say when God gave the law. He says the Lord came from Sinai and rose up into Seir. He shined forth from Mount Paran and he came with tens, thousands of his saints. You mean when God came on the mountain to give the law, there was myriads, which is what this word thousands means, myriads. There was myriads of saints, Hekodesh, sanctified ones, set apart ones. They come with God? You mean Moses has known this all along? So when the Lord come, he come with 10,000 of his saints. Glory to God. So here he's fixing to introduce the blessing and he wants to let them know something's been going on all along that you didn't know. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Oh, glory to God. It's everything I can do to hold my peace from something I was sitting studying the other day in a place of business in Johnson City, and I was about to have a spell. I was sitting there rejoicing and a crying and going on, and oh my, sending quotes to Carol and to Brother Tim and different ones, and oh, I'll tell you one thing. Oh, I ain't gonna do it though. Oh my, he come with 10,000 of his saints from his right hand. Notice, from his right hand went a fiery law. Notice the court of Jehovah. Zechariah 14:5. And you shall flee to the mountains, the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Aziel. Yeah, you shall flee as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah. Now this is at the end of the tribulation period. King of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come. And all the saints will see. Is it any wonder when you heard the word of the hour, you heard from your theophany? In certain comings of God, the saints have come with him. Daniel 7:9, I beheld the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne, listen to this, was like the fiery flame and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him. Thousands ministered unto him. Question answer 64, who is it that ministers to the king? The bride. Thousands. The theologians taking these Hebrew words say this number is so vast you can't even number it. Thousands. Just in case you're thinking we're losing, you might ought to refigure. There's more with us than there are with them. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set and the books were open. Oh, hallelujah. Moses wanted him to know, I want you to know, when I was up on the mountain that day, it wasn't just him that was there, but there was a representation of the saints of God. What was it? Theophany was a glorified body. I really don't know what it was. All I know is right before the prophet was fixing to leave, he began to let them know more about themselves than they'd ever found out before. It was the revealing. Hallelujah. It ain't no wonder that the last year of the prophet of God's life, it began to unfold so fast to him that he said, it's unfolding so fast on that desert I can't even keep up with it. Notice in Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 3, God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand. And there was the hiding of his power. Notice, God. Habakkuk says, God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. He veils this now in God's glory and his majesty. Which was what? The saints. The woman is the glory of the man. The bride is the glory of the Christ. Let's stand together. Jude chapter 1 verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And this Greek word is merios, innumerable multitude, an unlimited number, innumerable hosts. As I said, there's more with us than they are with him. Glory. Hallelujah. You imagine how all this is just, man, the song is finished. God speaks in. And now the inspiration comes and Moses moves into the last words. The last prophetic utterance to the people of God. And the first thing that he begins to personify is the greatness of the King. It was him that rose. It was the rising of the sun. He broke on you, but he wasn't by himself.
Amen.
There was myriads of Hekodesh that was with him.
Amen.
Glory to God. Oh my, oh my. I just wonder today, the loosing of the seals and the breaking of the identity and our names being found in the book. No wonder Brother Benham could say it, that our glorified bodies is in Christ this morning. Right here in this building, he said. Your glorified condition in Christ. He said, when God made me William Branham, he made me before the foundation of the world. Y'all need to bring your spiritual waiters this weekend. Come with a fork, a spoon, a knife, a wheelbarrow, a tractor and trailer. Everything you can haul off. Believe me. Glory. Don't you see, friends? With his presence, if giving the law, which was carnal, if giving the law brought such a heavenly accompaniment, what about the giving of grace? Don't you understand when Jesus was here, you were in him. It's not at every advent of God that saints come with him. But at certain ones, they are allowed to come with him. Especially when it has an affinity of who they are. And I'm not going to say any more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So counting from the left to the right, that angel on the top, remember I told you that he was brighter than the others. His wings all pointed. Counting from the left to the right, that would have been the seventh angel. The one with the seventh seal. The thing I've wondered about all my life. Hmm.
So when those angels come, each angel come each day to make known the mystery to Brother Branham. Each angel came each day. The angel, the church angel. Wonder which one he met first, the seventh or the first? Can you imagine when he saw himself? Be something similar when you see you, I figure. Some of y'all wondering what in the world it's going to take to make the change. So I kind of got an idea that if you were to see you at about 18 or 20, that'd send quite a jolt through you. Don't you think? I mean, for you to see me at 18, you probably, some of you wouldn't even know me at 18. I probably wouldn't know you. But for you to see you, certain times his presence is so real to the earth that he brings the saints with him. The Hei Kodesh, they come with him.
Glory. Bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I don't know exactly when it was. I don't know. I don't know if it's when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and created the blood cell and the egg. I don't know if it was then, or I don't know if it was at the river. But somehow or another, we came with him. You were in him. Don't sit there and look at me bug-eyed. You were in him. No, you can't remember it no more than you remember being in your daddy. But you was in your father. Levi paid tithes when he was in Abraham. Argue with that. That's the scripture. Glory. Oh, glory to God. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your precious word. What a way to crown the life of a man who had failed you so miserably. And we know that because he had failed on certain instances does not mean that he was a failure. Same with us. Lord Jesus, you in your grace allowed him to begin to say these things. Maybe he had kept it secret. Maybe he saw, who knows exactly what the man saw when he was there that day. But now he's finally able to say it. Glory to God. We love you, Lord. I thank you for Moses. He was a great, mighty man. He was a human being that had his failures. But I longed to see him that day. It's pretty evident by the times you have let him reappear again. He's all right. He's all right. Yeah. Glory to God. His failure at Kadesh might have knocked him out of the land of Canaan. But it didn't knock him out of the land of the heavenlies. Amen. Glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The devil got to looking around trying to find him. He got in an argument with the archangel. Rigor mortis wanting to set in and maggots and whatever more. And he got to looking around and he said, what happened to him? Where in the world happened to Moses' body? The angel said, the Lord rebuke you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Will we look up and see him on? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, 6 days after that, takes Peter, James, and John. So it was in the seventh day that he takes them up on the mountain and they see him transfigured before them. And there appeared before him Moses and Elijah. Glory to God. So it was on the seventh day that the resurrected and the raptured saints appeared with the resurrected Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. What was it? The saints appearing at His coming. Glory to God. Lord, we don't know yet what we'll be, but we know that we shall be like You.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, for we shall be like You when You appear. For we shall see Him as He is. Glory to God, for when You come, praise be to God, You will bring the saints with You. You'll bring me to meet me if I'm alive. Hallelujah. Glory. What a reunion, Lord. Lord Jesus, help us. We stand here tonight with all of our failures and our mistakes and our shortcomings. But crown our lives, Lord. Crown our lives with the promise that we will be gathered with our people. May our mistakes be forgiven, Lord. May our sins and our failures be washed away. Lord, if there's anything in my life, anything, Lord Jesus, I know I've failed You so many times since serving You as just a little boy. But Lord, crown my life with the promise of the saints that I will be gathered with my people. And my people aren't the Reagans. My people are Word people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have been resurrected with the saints. I feed with the saints. I talk with the saints. I fellowship with the saints. So there's only one sensible place for me to go when I leave this world. That's with the saints. Hallelujah. The saints are my people here. Hallelujah. We love You, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I thank You for this presence that I feel here tonight, Lord. It's the same one who broke forth from Sinai and come down to Mount Paran. It's the same one who made His presence known in His excellent glory. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love You tonight, Lord Jesus. We worship You, great Jehovah, who thundered on Sinai. And You consummated Your greatest work, Your greatest work on Mount Calvary. Not Jehovah thundering out the law, but there in the sonship, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Hallelujah. And You looked down upon that body and You had never taken the bride from the groom yet. And when the soldier comes up and rams the spear in his side, it was a releasing of part of the elements that was needed to make my new birth. I needed three elements to birth me: water, blood, and spirit. And I was released out of that body. I don't know where I went. I don't know what I done. But I do know that when He got back up on the resurrection, I got back up in Him. By identification, I was in Him. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Can we just raise our hands, saints? In the presence of the King. Can you believe that's that same God that thundered on Sinai? That same God has taken a prophet's mouth and spoken in this day. That same Holy Ghost is anointing servants of God to take what that prophet said and keep saying the same thing. And not just stopping with the preachers, but till that message becomes alive in you. And you become the message made flesh. Written epistles known and read of all men. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we don't say tonight that you started in Sinai. May we bring it on down to our modern terms. But you shed forth your glory on Mount Sunset. You who come down and shook that place. I've stood there myself, Lord. And even though it's been years and years since you came down that day and cut the tops of the trees off, as I stood there with Brother Stephen Smith several years ago, you can still see those trees as the tops are still cut as they've grown. Well, they've grown over the years, and your identification is still there, that you come down and cut. And we picked up still pyramid-shaped rocks laying around in that desert. Hallelujah. You who revealed yourself in Paran and Nebo have come down on Finger Rock. Hallelujah. When many of your children was messed up in their marriage and messed up, and the law would have said they can't even go in the rapture. Your prophet said he just finished up the mystery of marriage and divorce. Question and answers 1964. But there's one thing he didn't have, and that was grace. But where did you bring grace? On Finger Rock in Tucson. The same God that could thunder on Paran and Mount Sinai could come down, hallelujah, in this our day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and make known your word to us. Lord God, we don't need another thundering on some other mountain. Lord, we want the voice of God to just thunder out of our lives. Help us to live this word, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. O Holy One, come by our way tonight, would you, Lord God? Hallelujah. Not from Teman, not from Mount Paran, not from Nebo. Lord, you're in Johnson City, Elizabeth, and in Kingsport. Lord Jesus, may you pass our way. May you minister healing, strength, whatever the people need tonight, Lord. Children, why don't you reach out to him? Whatever your need is. Whatever your need is right now. That same God that thundered. That same God that shook the mountain. That same God is right here tonight. That can be touched by the feeling of your infirmities. Hallelujah. Glory to God. While we're in his presence right now, why don't you just mention your needs? Mention your needs. Your children, your wife. You need a closer walk. You know where you need to be? Hallelujah. Lord, I want to mention Sister Margie Longoria again to your Father. Lord, I want to mention Brother Homer Frazier. You see, Lord, he's got this infection in his body. The doctors have said from contaminated equipment that was used when they operated on him. Lord, they say an infection in his bones that he'll have the rest of his life. And Lord, the pain so horrendous today. Lord, Brother Ron texting me and asking me to pray. Lord, just so painful for our brother. The doctor saying he'll never get over it. Have to take antibiotics the rest of his life. Well, that may be all they know. But our God is a God of miracles. A God of supernatural. Lord Jesus, we join our faith together tonight, Lord. I join my faith with these believers. Lord, not for just Sister Margie and Brother Frazier, but Lord, all their needs as well. Precious Father, would you come by our way? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, that same one who thundered and the lightning came down and the trumpets began to blow. That's not what we necessarily need here tonight, Lord. It may be that still small voice that just anoints our faith. And all of a sudden something rises up within us and we know it's done. And we just speak it out from within us. I'm healed. I'm delivered. My needs are met. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, may your great power move right there in Virginia, Lord. Our brother Homer Frazier. You see, Lord, he's been through so much.
So many things that family, Lord, has gone through. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, may we be able to speak in your name tonight, Lord. Oh, dear God, may healing virtue, may the presence of God, it's you, Lord, the reason that our brother's even alive tonight. It's you, Lord, that he's even living because of your presence. May the presence of God go where he is right there tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, touch our brother, Lord. With all due respect to what the doctors say, that may be as far as they know, but they don't know our Jehovah. They don't know our God who can go right in them bones and by his supernatural power begin to move. Lord, I pray for Sister Sharon Ward tonight, Father. You see her need. Lord, I pray for our brother, Lord Jesus, and sisters around the world. Many of them, oh, Father, deacon brother there in Uganda and the automobile accident. Father, me getting the report from them today. Lord Jesus, in the hospital, I pray for our brother. Thousands of miles away, but may the presence of God move for him tonight. Brother Keith Phillips, who call his name to you tonight. Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We believe you tonight, Lord. We believe you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. May that thundering voice of Jehovah thunder forth in our heart. Hallelujah. To speak your word, if that same God who said, by your stripes I'm healed, if he can thunder it out of our very hearts, nothing can stop it from happening. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We're not going to wallow in our failures tonight. We're not going to wallow in all those things, Lord. But you've come by tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for the way you've moved. You've come by and told us of your justice. You've told us of your judgment. You've told us of your sword. But just like you, you're crowning the service in your mercy. Hallelujah. You chose. You could have chose to close the service with the sword. But instead, you chose to close it with crowning mercy, crowning grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, you see this need my brother mentioned to me the other way. You're the Jehovah of miracles. I speak it for him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, I just feel him here. Oh, glory to God. I love it when he comes by. I love it when he comes by this morning. I hope you don't think I'm weird and strange, but I love it when I go to feeling his presence so real that the feeling goes to leaving my hands like it is right now. It goes to creeping up my arms, both of my hands and my fingers, losing feeling in my face, in my lips. Oh, I love it when he comes by. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, children, can we move past this mortal realm for just a few minutes? Let our face. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we call upon your name. Almighty God, thank you, Lord Jesus. You're here, Lord. We worship you. May your fire come by, Lord. Glory to God. Burn out sin. Burn out slothfulness. Burn out disease. Burn out tumors. Glory to God, because you love your people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord God. Don't be scared, children. That's him that you sense. Don't be scared. He won't hurt you. He loves you. He wants to perch up on our nest, as it were, and flutter his great big wings before you. Oh, my Father, my God,
bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. We adore you, Lord. We worship you, great King of Kings. Thank you, Lord, for letting us climb up to the mountain, as it were, every now and then. And let us get a little taste of what it's going to be like. Lord Jesus, we worship you. When we can sense your presence this way, we know, Lord, that you're moving near us, closer to us, to encourage, to heal, to deliver. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed God. Let's just worship him, children. Let's just worship him with a reverence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. May you appear among your Ahei Kodesh tonight, great Jehovah. Your sainted ones. Your holy ones. May our hearts be so pure before you that you love our fellowship. Glory to God. Bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. We no longer have to refer to you as the King of Israel, but we can refer to you as our King, because we are your people. Praise God. We are your bride. Glory to God. And your prophet said 10 billion years ago, 10 billion years ago, you ordained us to have fellowship with you. You saw us and called us by name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. May we not so long for the rapture that we miss precious times like this tonight. What a glorious spot this is. Oh, we long for the change. We long to get out of this world. But may we not be so heavenly minded that we miss divine visitations from the presence of God. Lord Jesus, I worship you. Hallelujah. Hey, let's just sing something. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Father. We bless your name. I bless your name, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Think about the Lord,
Lord Jesus,
how he raised me,
my God.
Save
help me, Lord. Help me, Lord.
With the Holy
too far,
Ghost,
your presence, Lord Jesus. Help me, God.
When I think about the
Lord Jesus. We worship you.
How he saved me.
We bless your name.
How he raised me.
Yes, Lord.
How he filled me.
Thank you, Jesus.
With the Holy Ghost. How he healed me to the uttermost. When
hallelujah.
I think about the Lord.
Oh, worship him, children. That's it. Let's just
how
love
he
him.
Picked me up. He turned me. My feet,
oh Lord. Oh Lord.
On solid ground,
oh Lord Jesus,
makes me
hallelujah.
Shout.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy,
Lord Jesus,
of all the glory, of all the honor,
Lord Jesus, we worship you, Father.
Praise. place my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for you're worthy of all the glory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing together as we go. How great thou art. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's up to you how you leave this service tonight. You can leave feeling the wrath if you want to, feeling the sword because of all your mistakes and failures. Or you can let the grace of God come in and usurp you to that place. Let Him crown you with His mercy. Let Him pardon you and crown you with His grace. And let Him carry you up into that realm. Say, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. Neither was Moses worthy to see what he saw. But God's grace carried him up. Why? His mercy overshadowed his failures. You know how you're going in the rapture? Mercy will overshadow your failures. That's the only way.
Amen.
There are no perfect people, friends. Mercy must overshadow. If God demands a law, divine love must be projected to meet the demand of that divine law. Remember, the prophet said that Sarah never did really believe and trust God. It was Abraham that believed for her.
Amen.
You'll have so many failures your entire life. Maybe even the very morning of the rapture, it'll be your husband that stands in on your behalf.
Amen. Thank you.
Let's sing it together as we go. Go ahead, our King.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great,
how great you are. Hallelujah. Oh, my God.
How great.
Sing,
God. how great I know.